realfaith.org.au.
There is some times when if I'm out walking with her, she'll see a man on the street, she'll stop and she'll move in. It's a great experience when a dog wants to get closer to you and keeps on pushing into you. You know, leaning into God is the kind of expression we would say in our churches, and that's what she does to me. And every time she does that, I'm reminded that that's what I need in terms of my Heavenly Father.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
David Percy was a bit disappointed and frustrated at the way his career path had been going over the course of his life, when suddenly he had a stroke. This sent him further into depression, which was showing no signs of letting up. Then one day, he was asked to take care of a dog that had been abused, and something wonderful and unexpected happened. So we're going to talk to a man about his dog today. Welcome to the program, David Percy.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And so we're going to find out about the impact this dog had on your life in just a bit. But first, before we get to that, let's find out a little bit about you and your background. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Melbourne, in a little town called Heidelberg. I was fortunate to be the son of Christian parents who brought me up to love the Lord and to accept Him as my Savior at 8 years of age. And as a result, I endeavored to follow the Christian way of life, and particularly in the church as my mum and dad had actually served.
Okay, so a Christian at a young age, and then you decided to have a career path. What were you interested in?
I was trained as a biochemist. I always had an interest in medicine, and I finished up as a qualified biochemist. I worked in a university lab, in a medical lab, and that was sort of what I thought would be my career path.
But what happened?
That was interrupted by a call up to national service in the 70s, and I was drafted and spent two and a half years in a military hospital in Queensland. During the time, I got married, and after discharge, I returned to Melbourne and worked in a private pathology lab for a number of years.
So is that during Vietnam War?
That was the Vietnam War, yes.
Okay, so you were helping casualties of the war.
Yes, we were in a receiving hospital on the mainland. I never saw action overseas. But my job as a biochemist was in the hospital doing the routine biochemistry that's required for men and women who had returned with wounds from overseas.
Okay. So this kind of interrupted your career path. What impact did that have on your career path?
My career, although I returned to biochemistry in private practice, I wasn't working at the bench, as we would call it, but I was working in developing new computer systems for the pathology labs at that time. And so I took a bit of a left turn, so as to speak, in terms of my career as a biochemist.
In what way?
Well, I wasn't directly pursuing biochemistry as such. I was involved in designing computer systems that would analyze results and put them out to the doctors or to the patients in a more orderly fashion. And although I enjoyed doing that, there wasn't really the satisfaction, and I was away from home a good deal of the time, and that resulted in, by this time, having four children, wanting to be home more, and by necessity, I moved from that occupation into teaching.
Okay, so you're married, you have four children, but I'm sensing, as you mentioned, not really satisfied with your career at that point.
Not at all. We dropped a considerable amount of income in order for me to be retrained as a teacher, but I never really found that I was achieving a great deal in terms of my satisfaction and my ability to grow in that kind of position. I was certainly successful in that in terms of the students and the reports that I got from parents and colleagues and principals, but towards the latter part of my teaching, I went into more vocational style of education in Victoria. And looking back, that probably was where the Lord was taking me all the time, because I was a hands-on teacher rather than an academic teacher. And I had a compassion for people who had struggled all their life. And so those students who struggled in year 9, year 10, I finished up looking after them in year 11 and in 12.
So did you end up doing what you enjoyed?
Not entirely. I guess that I know that in the latter part of my teaching days, there were students that I took from a hopeless situation to where they are today, successful in their careers, mainly trades. But it took a great toll because a good deal of the colleagues and a good deal of the establishment was not in favour of this type of education when I was involved in it. And that's where the disillusionment came. It's where the disappointment came. And I guess the lack of recognition of what was being done wasn't there.
Mm. Anything else contribute to your frustration in your career?
Possibly along the way, for me, there were failures. I always was trying to improve myself, and I wasn't an academic as such. And so when I set out to study, I found that I had difficulty doing that, and it really wasn't until later in my life that I found that I really did have a reading issue.
I found
that I could visually learn very well and have a good skill in the things that I do have. I learned by visually learning rather than by reading. And today that's still an issue for me, that I admire the people that can sit and read and read and read and write and write.
Yeah.
But I also admire the people that learn by watching and looking and basically are self-starters.
Now, this was years and years ago before people realized that people learn in different ways. Now, I think, hopefully, people are a little bit more open to different ways of learning and hands-on learning. Is that right?
Very true. Mm-hmm. And I was in the early stages of that change where people saw that there were many different ways to learn, and we were really a composite of all of them. Some of them had greater influence in our learning than others, other styles of learning.
But at the time, you just felt like you didn't fit and weren't appreciated.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so all this is going on, and then you had a stroke.
And then, beginning of the school year, I had an atypical stroke. Something that caught me by surprise, and I was away from my duties for a month or more while I recuperated, but then it was some time that I realized that I just couldn't continue in the terms of my job, and I finished up my employment. And then the real depression started.
What were you advised when this happened?
No advice whatsoever.
Oh.
No advice.
You weren't warned that that might happen after a stroke? Depression?
I was advised by the medicos that, you know, anyone with head trauma would take 2 years to recuperate.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of support for that in my employment, no, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that the decisions were made that if I couldn't teach in a classroom, then I probably wasn't of value to the system.
Now, what caused the stroke in the first place?
My stroke took place, it was atypical, I had a blockage in my brain. On the weekend of the fires that devastated Melbourne in 2009, and I was probably, should have been one of the statistics of people who died as a result of dehydration and stress and whatever. That's the only explanation I've got, that I had a blockage. It was probably dehydration in the long term. I attended the local hospital emergency service, and I can still see the medical officer who attended me and said, I think it's this, I'm not sure, but I have to find out. And I guess without his astuteness and probably divine intervention, I probably wouldn't have survived that weekend.
Wow. Now you're talking about the Black Saturday fires of 2009?
That's correct. I have no recollection of that whole week and that weekend and the aftermath at all.
Oh, wow. So maybe there's just the stress of that crazy time added to your health stress?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. And I have friends that have lost folks in those fires.
Yeah.
They talk about it to me, and I have no empathy whatsoever at all because I have no emotional attachment to whatever happened in that time.
Wow. So you have a physical reaction, a stroke.
Yep.
But then later, as you were starting to talk about, there was the psychological impact. What
Correct.
Happened?
And I think that once your career is abruptly ended and your employment has ended, then you begin to have doubts as to what you achieved and what you should have done and what you could have done and whether what you did was of any value. When there's no one around to talk about that or to emphasize with you, it becomes an internalization and you begin to see a darker side than what is really there, and you embellish it in your thinking and your thoughts.
Yep.
And as a Christian, of course, you're trying to keep a sense of peace and a sense of relationship with God, but the old enemy that...
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that. The enemy wants you to think you're worthless and no good and all that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And reminds you of things that were probably small incidences in the past, but they become very big incidents as you think about them. You know, things that you perhaps could have done better or things that you were picked up on you didn't do, or students who had made comments about how bad it was. And then even the real positives.
So there were some wonderful accomplishments, but in life we can look at the glass half empty or half full.
Yes.
And at this time it looked like you were looking at the empty part.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the enemy does make that. He blots out all the positives. Yeah. He doesn't want you to know those. He just wants you to focus on the things that were failures where they probably weren't.
So he wants you to be miserable.
Correct.
Our guest today is David Percy from the outer eastern suburbs of Melbourne. He's sharing his life journey and how he was a bit disappointed and frustrated at the way his career path had been going when he suffered a stroke. However, as we'll hear, a dog unexpectedly enters his life and has a huge impact on him. All that and more is coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is David Percy, who was a bit disappointed and frustrated at the way his career path had been going when he suffered a stroke. This sent him further into depression, which was showing no signs of letting up. Next, we're going to hear the remarkable thing that happened when God places a dog in David's life.
Well, the dog was the turnaround. The dog came some 5 years after this, so this was not just after the events of the...
Oh, okay, much later.
Yes, the dog came.
Yeah, how did the dog come? How did the dog enter into the picture?
The dog came as a result of one of the family members purchasing a puppy from a breeder who had two of the Pyrenean mountain dogs that she bred that needed to be rehoused.
Mm-hmm.
She herself had actually gone through the Black Saturday, lost her home, lost the kennels, lost some of her breeding stud, and these two dogs, one of which I eventually took, came from her kennel.
Okay.
And I remember her saying, David, this dog is following you. She doesn't follow males.
Oh.
Now, the reason for that is that she'd been on the farm and supposedly as a sheepdog, because that's what they are, you know, similar to the Miramas that everyone talks about, but these are the French version, not the Italian dog, and she had been abused because as soon as it rained, she'd come home and leave the sheep in the paddock. And we believe that she was quite savagely beaten. There are some such scars on it and a few other.
Oh, so is that why that dog didn't like men?
And that's why she didn't like men.
Yeah.
And when I brought her home, it took me a long time to re-socialize her. When my friends would come in, she would bark and, you know, rear up and cowl away from it. So, and I found that also that in the backyard, if I picked up the hose or a piece of timber or anything like that, wood to burn in the fire, she would run. So she had been well and truly abused.
But you said that dog, for some reason, would follow you. It made an exception for you.
That is correct. And I don't know to this day why.
Yeah.
But having her now in our possession for 3 years, she is the most adorable and a daring dog. She follows me all around the place. She'll sit on the couch next to me and she will paw, lift her paw saying, pat me, pat me, pat me. And if we stop doing that, she will continue to do that. And it took my mind off my Amelie woes, and I had to care for this dog and I had to look after her because she became totally dependent upon me.
Wow.
And that's where the story starts to be positive.
Yeah, so all of a sudden you're kind of depressed and you're given this abused dog.
Yep.
What happens?
Well, I had to look after her.
Mm-hmm.
I had to feed her. I had to give her water. I had to take her for a walk. And all of a sudden my closed-off environment where I was not willing to go out or socialize with other people, I had to change my, initially very slowly,
mm-hmm.
I had to attend to the needs of an animal.
Yeah.
And I began to realize that, you know, animals in God's care is equally important as his care for me is.
Hmm.
And so I began to see my creator as a God that cared for his animals, but he also cared for me. And this slowly changed my thinking around to the fact that we are so blessed with what God has done, is doing, and continues to do for us, and as I had to do and continue to do for the dog.
So this dog that probably shouldn't have liked you. I mean, nothing personal, but you're a guy, and it probably was abused by a man. It shouldn't have liked you for all intents and purposes.
Correct, because
but for some reason, it liked you and only you.
That's correct. Up to that point of time, if my wife came in, or if a female came in, or my daughters came in, the dog would sit there and wag a tail, do everything else. But if a male come in, my sons or my friends, she would cow. She would run. And even now, there is some times when if I'm out walking with her, she'll see a man on the street, she'll stop, and she'll move in. It's a great experience when a dog wants to get closer to you and keeps on pushing into you. Leaning into God is the kind of expression we would say in churches. And that's what she does to me. And every time she does that, I'm reminded that that's what I need and can do and would do in terms of my Heavenly Father.
Wow, that's fantastic. So in a sense, though, looking back, you needed this dog.
Yes. Yes, I did need the dog.
And this dog needed you.
And the dog needed me. Yep. Yep. And together we've walked this journey. She's now much more a lovable dog and is not as fearful as she used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I, likewise, am not as depressed as I used to be. There's another side to life when you can appreciate life and appreciate the protection that I give the dog and also God gives to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the provision that comes from Heavenly Father. And, you know, every day I feed this dog, I refer to her as the star boarder. She sleeps, eats, sleeps, as dogs do. But it's a visual sign to me every morning. When I spend time in devotions, I see this dog and I see, God, you gave me this dog. Every time I see her, I'm reminded that I have to be thankful for what I'm receiving day by day from the Father.
And how is the depression going?
It comes and goes. There's still the anxiety there. But I've learned that seeking the peace, I've mentioned that I haven't been a strong reader all my life, but I committed to spend time listening to Scripture, reading and listening to Scripture, and that is really the most joyful experience, but it's also the most peaceful experience that comes when we can dwell on the Word, just reading and soaking in the things that have been read or have been written for us long ago but are still recorded in our Scripture, in our Bible. And it really is an excitement in my life to know that things that are 2,000 years old and beyond are still blessing me as I read about the Old Testament history and the Old Testament course of the God's, you know, red line through the biblical ages and what he's doing currently today.
So if I'm understanding correctly, this dog was kind of the catalyst for growth, spiritual growth, in your life.
That is true, too. because of the years that I was in a little bit of turmoil in my employment, there was also turmoil within my church. And I stood up for some very godly principles, and the eldership didn't really accept what I was saying. There was some indiscretion within various ranks, and I became as a scapegoat of the church that I loved. And so during this period of 10 years of the stroke, and even a little bit before, I was not in a fellowship that really wanted me to be there.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
God actually does things strangely. I questioned God many, many times as to why all this was happening. But out of it has become the peacefulness of knowing Him in a much more personal and intimate way, although I would say that I walked in the statutes of the Scripture very closely all my life. But there comes a time when God is so personal, so refreshingly fatherly to us. Yeah, the Scripture, I've read it many, many times in my life. Abba, Abba, Father. I never really understood what to say, Father, I know you. And that's what came out of all this relationship with the dog.
Oh, really? How so?
Yep. I know I preached when I was preaching in days gone by about knowing the Father, knowing the Son, knowing the Spirit, and why do we always pray in the name of Jesus? But, you know, we're really talking to the Father.
Yep.
We're praying, you know, that way. And it became aware that my Heavenly Father was my Father.
Yeah.
And Jesus was my Savior and brother, but Lord for my life. And the Spirit communes between us all, and that threeness is equally important, but it's my Father, it's God, God the Creator, that really is most interested in me, and I believe interested in a dog too.
Yeah, so how did your relationship with the dog teach you that lesson about your Heavenly Father?
Right back in the beginning of Genesis, where we were given the responsibility in the creation story of being the husbandry to our livestock and so forth. And it took my mind back to the fact that this was God the Creator. Now, there's the whole theological stuff around that, but it was my God the Creator. My Father was the sole purpose of my living, to give honor and praise to Him. And when I came to be the husbandry of the husband looking after this dog, I suddenly realized that all of this is at the hands of my Father. And I became into a stronger relationship to appreciate how God the Creator, God the Father, was so interested in sending Christ to redeem His world. After many times of trying in other ways, He sent Jesus die in our place, and Jesus was His Son. And I am now re-energized to be part of the redeemed circle of folks in this world who see Him as our Father. So it all came about as having a responsibility of care for someone else.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time, but we haven't mentioned the name of the dog.
The dog is Marinella.
Marinella.
She's a French lady. As I mentioned, she's a Pyrenean mountain dog. They grew up in the Alps of the Pyrenees in France. When she was born, the breeder wanted to call them all by French names. So Marinella is a French name, meaning a lady.
And her favorite activity?
Sleeping.
Here, I thought you were going to say something like going for a walk or something. But
well, you mentioned that word and she'll be up ready to go. But the majority of the time, they're known to be, it is reputed to be the oldest cattle dog ever.
Oh, okay.
The breed goes back 3,000 or 4,000 years, and they were designed to sleep across they were bred to sleep across the drawbridge. And if you came in as a friend, they would let you in. If they sensed any trouble and any sort of fear, they would arc up and they wouldn't let you cross the drawbridge. So most of their time, they sleep.
Oh, okay. So, David, in conclusion, we're kind of wrapping up our conversation today. Where do you think you would be if you had not met this dog, Marinella?
Truthfully, if the dog hadn't come into my life at the point that it did, I have no idea where I would be today.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was desperately hanging on to my faith. I had no other props or whatever to go to, and it was the dog that brought me back to realize that it was really God's provision. It was God's time for me to understand that he really still loved me and cared for me, and it was in him that I could find my way out of the depression.
Wow. Well, I guess the Bible says God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and sometimes he uses a dog.
Yeah, and that is actually my favorite verse in the scripture, actually.
So what a wonderful story, this mutual growing between the two of you, a man and his dog.
Man and his dog. Who would have ever thought?
Well, I tell you what. So would you please give Marinella a biscuit for me? Would you do that?
I will.
Well, thank you so much, David, for sharing this wonderful story with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Eric.
Our guest today has been David Percy, and his dog is named Marinella.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.